This is episode 116 of the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, Jesus in Islam by David Wood. This article first appeared in the print edition of the Christian Research Journal, volume 40, number 1, in 2017. The Christian Research Journal Reads podcast presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. To read the full article and its documentation, please go to equip.org. That's EQUIP.org.
Jesus in Islam by David Wood. Synopsis. Muslims around the world are quick to insist that, like Christians, they believe in Jesus. The Jesus we read about in Islam's most trusted sources, however, differs from the biblical Jesus in significant ways. While Muslims agree with Christians on many crucial details surrounding Jesus' life, e.g., his angelic annunciation, virgin conception, and miracles, they reject the core elements relating to the gospel, i.e., his divine nature, sacrificial death, and resurrection. A careful examination of the similarities and differences between the Christian and Muslim views of Jesus reveals three sources of Islamic claims about Jesus. First, many claims can be traced back to Orthodox Christian sources, either directly or through written or oral intermediaries. These patches of common ground are excellent places to begin conversations. Second, Islamic stories about Jesus that have no precedent in Orthodox Christian sources, nevertheless, often can be found in apocryphal, sometimes heretical, works from the 2nd through 7th centuries. Since Muhammad's apparent borrowing from unreliable sources calls his revelations into question, this category is useful for apologists challenging Islam. Third, a variety of details about Jesus that are unique to Islam seem to have been invented to bring Jesus into line with Islamic theology. Here, history may be used as a check to Muhammad's claims. The result of mixing these incompatible sources is a kind of hybrid Jesus that does not fit well into any theological background. The Islamic Jesus falls short of Christian orthodoxy, but cannot be contained in the prophet box Muhammad constructed for him. Jesus is the most enigmatic figure in the Muslim sources. On one hand, the Quran attempts to undermine the Christian perspective by reducing Jesus to a mere messenger of Allah. On the other hand, Jesus is astonishingly unique in Islam, as his titles, virgin conception, miraculous works, and future role set him apart from even Muhammad. While the uniqueness of Jesus makes perfect sense in Christianity, since the God-man has no parallel, Muhammad's teachings leave us wondering, why is Jesus so radically different from everyone else? His name. The Arabic transliteration of Yeshua, Jesus' name in Hebrew, is Yasu, which is the name for Jesus used by Arabic-speaking Christians. The Quran, however, in Arabic, refers to Jesus as Isa, and there is no small amount of confusion among commentators concerning the origin of this name. The most likely proposals are, 1. That Isa is an indirect transliteration of Yeshua through multiple languages, 2. That Muhammad modified the name for literary purposes, and 3. That Muhammad was tricked into using the Arabic form of the Hebrew name Esau, presumably by Arabian Jews who referred to Jesus as Esau in a derogatory sense. His titles. The Quran calls Jesus a prophet, Nabi, and a messenger, Rasul. Though these titles are used of other familiar figures in the Quran, three titles are applied uniquely to Jesus, all three together, in chapter 4, verses 171. Messiah. The Quran refers to Jesus as Messiah, Al-Messiah, 8 times. Chapter 3, verse 45, chapter 4, verse 157, verse 171 through 172, chapter 5, verse 17, verse 72, 75, and chapter 9, verse 30. But the text gives no indication as to the meaning of this title. Further, whereas the Bible repeatedly connects the title Messiah with Son of God, see Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Mark chapter 14, verse 61, etc., the Quran explicitly denies this connection. See chapter 9, verse 30. Spirit of Allah. Quran chapter 4, verse 171 denies the doctrine of the Trinity and commands Christians not to have an exaggerated view of Jesus. When telling Christians what to believe about Jesus, however, the verse describes Jesus as a spirit from him, i.e., a spirit from Allah. Unfortunately, the Quran sheds no more light on the title spirit from Allah than it does on the title Messiah. Word of Allah. Jesus is called a word from him, i.e., a word from Allah, in the Quran, chapter 3, verse 45, and his word, i.e., Allah's word, in chapter 4, verse 171. Here again, the Quran does not explain the significance of Jesus being Allah's word, kalimat, though Muhammad must have adopted the phrase from Christians without understanding its origin as a divine title in the prologue of John's Gospel. His Annunciation. In the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel tells Mary that she will have a son named Jesus. Gabriel says to her, quote, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High," end quote. Chapter 1, verses 30 through 32. The Quran contains similar stories about the Annunciation. One notable difference is that whereas Luke has Gabriel declaring that Jesus shall be called the Son of the Most High, the Quran has Gabriel say that Jesus' name is Jesus, the Son of Mary. Quote, "O Mary, Allah giveth thee glad tidings of a word from him. His name will be called Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, held in honor in this world and the hereafter, and of the company of those nearest to Allah," end quote. Quran, chapter 3, verse 45. Since both Luke and the Quran precede the Annunciation with the story of Zacharias being mute after questioning Gabriel, it is clear that the Quranic account is loosely based on Luke, passed on to Muhammad orally either from Luke's gospel itself or from other works that drew from Luke. But all "Son of God" language, which occurs in Luke's version in verses 32 and 35, has been purged from the Annunciation in the Quran. His Conception. The Quran is more graphic than the Bible when describing Jesus' miraculous conception. Matthew simply says that before Mary and Joseph came together, she, quote, "was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit," end quote. Chapter 1, verse 18. The Quran, by contrast, says that Allah blew his spirit into Mary's vagina. Quran translators have been reluctant to give the verses discussing Jesus' conception a literal rendering. Thus, Yusuf Ali translates Farij, vagina, opening, private part, as chastity. Quote, "And Mary, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her chastity, and we breathed into her body of our spirit, and she testified to the truth of the words of her Lord and of his revelations, and was one of the devout servants," end quote. Quran, chapter 66, verse 12. The renowned Muslim commentator Ibn Kathir includes the literal meaning, although he interprets spirit as referring to the angel Gabriel. Quote, "And Miriam, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her chastity," private part, meaning who protected and purified her honor by being chaste and free of immorality, "and we breathed into it," private part, "through our Ruh," meaning through the angel Gabriel. Allah sent the angel Gabriel to Miriam, and he came to her in the shape of a man in every respect. Allah commanded him to blow into a gap of her garment, and that breath went into her womb through her private part. This is how Isa was conceived. End quote. His birth. In Islam, the birth of Jesus is miraculous not only because of his conception, but also because of the events that followed his birth, including an apparently supernatural provision of water and theological lessons from the infant Jesus. The Quran reports, quote, "So she conceived him, and she retired with him to a remote place. And the pains of childbirth drove her to a trunk of a palm tree. She cried in her anguish, 'Ah, would that I had died before this. Would that I had been a thing forgotten and out of sight. But a voice cried to her from beneath the palm tree, "Grieve not, for thy Lord hath provided a rivulet beneath thee, and shake towards thyself the trunk of the palm tree. It will let fall fresh ripe dates upon thee." End quote. 19:22-25. To the readers of the late apocryphal Gospels, the story of the palm tree will sound familiar. The early 7th century Gospel of Pseudo-Matthew tells us that shortly after Jesus' birth, as Mary and Joseph traveled to Egypt, the heat became oppressive, and Mary stopped to rest under a palm tree. When she complained, "I wish it were possible to get some of the fruit of this palm," Joseph replied that he was more concerned about their empty water skins. Jesus then spoke and ordered the palm tree to lower its branches so that the couple could reach its fruit. After the tree complied, Jesus commanded it to open a vein of water from its roots. Mary and Joseph were thus saved from the desert heat. The Quran never mentions Mary's husband, Joseph. Mary therefore appears to her relatives with a newborn baby and no husband. Fortunately, Jesus speaks in order to protect his mother's reputation. Quote, "At length she brought the babe to her people, carrying him in her arms. They said, 'O Mary, truly an amazing thing hast thou brought, O sister of Aaron. Thy father was not a man of evil, nor thy mother a woman unchaste.' But she pointed to the babe. They said, 'How can we talk to one who is a child in the cradle?' He said, 'I am indeed a servant of Allah. He hath given me revelation and made me a prophet. And he hath made me blessed wheresoever I be, and hath enjoined on me prayer and charity as long as I live. He hath made me kind to my mother and not overbearing or miserable. So peace is on me the day I was born, the day that I die, and the day that I shall be raised up to life again.'" Quran chapter 19, verse 27-33. Once again, readers acquainted with apocryphal literature will notice a parallel. The 6th century Arabic infancy gospel, also called the Syriac infancy gospel, has Jesus say to Mary from the cradle, "I am Jesus, the Son of God, the Logos, whom thou hast brought forth, as the angel Gabriel announced to thee, and my Father has sent me for the salvation of the world." In both accounts, then, Jesus declares his mission shortly after birth. The missions reported, however, are remarkably different. His miracles. In addition to speaking and preaching as an infant, the Muslim Jesus performs a number of other miracles in the Quran, though the Quran is careful to note that Jesus performs these miracles by Allah's permission. These include giving life to clay birds, chapter 3, verse 49, and chapter 5, verse 110. The story of Jesus giving life to clay birds is also found in the 2nd century infancy gospel of Thomas, where Jesus, as a 5-year-old, is condemned for sculpting clay sparrows on the Sabbath. Only for him to clap his hands and yell, "Go!" The sparrows then fly away to the amazement of the onlookers. Giving sight to people blind since birth, 349:5-110. For biblical examples of Jesus giving sight to the blind, see Matthew 9:27-31, 20:30-34, Mark 8:22-26, and John 9:1-38. Cleansing lepers, 349:5-110. For biblical parallels, see Mark 1:40-45 and Luke 17:11-19. Raising the dead. Again, see 349:5-110. Jesus raises the dead in Matthew 9:18-26, Luke 7:11-18, and John 11:1-46. Possessing supernatural knowledge, 349. Though the biblical Jesus often displays supernatural knowledge, see, e.g., John 1:48-49 and 4:17-19, etc., the Quran specifies that Jesus could tell people about what they eat and what they store in their houses. Calling down a table from heaven, 5:112-115. This story seems to be a highly embellished account of the Last Supper. Jesus' disciples ask him to call down from heaven a table prepared for a feast. Jesus prays to Allah, and Allah grants the request. The Quran thus contains miracle stories with both biblical and non-biblical parallels. along with a unique account of a miraculous table from heaven. When considered together with the stories surrounding Jesus' birth, it seems that Muhammad couldn't tell the difference between A, historical accounts that can be traced to the first century, and B, the legends that develop much later. His perfection. While it is common for Muslims today to insist that all prophets are sinless, this claim does not come from the Quran. Indeed, according to the Quran, Allah repeatedly ordered Muhammad to seek forgiveness of his sins. See 40 verse 55, 47 verse 19, and 48 verse 2. In the hadith, we find Muhammad declaring, quote, "By Allah, I seek Allah's forgiveness and turn to him in repentance more than 70 times a day," end quote. By contrast, the Quran calls Jesus faultless, 19 verse 19. Although the Quran applies a similar term to John the Baptist, 19 verse 13, Muhammad declares in the hadith that Jesus is unique among the prophets and that Jesus was the only one Satan couldn't touch. Quote, the prophet said, "When any human being is born, Satan touches him at both sides of his body with his two fingers, except Jesus, the son of Mary, whom Satan tried to touch but failed. So he touched the placenta cover instead," end quote. The claim of many modern Muslims that all prophets are sinless appears to be an attempt to deny this uniqueness. His message. The Quran maintains that all true prophets, including Jesus, shared the same religion. See 42 verse 13. Hence, Jesus' message cannot differ significantly from Muhammad's. The Muslim Jesus called himself a servant of Allah and a prophet, 19 verse 30. He says that Allah requires him to observe prayer and almsgiving throughout his life, 19 verse 31. He says he came to, quote, make lawful, end quote, some of what had been forbidden under Jewish law, 3 verse 50. And he declares, quote, Allah, he is my Lord and your Lord, so worship ye him, end quote, 43 verse 64. Concerning Christian belief in the identity of Christ, Allah will ask Jesus about this on the day of resurrection. Quote, and behold, Allah will say, O Jesus, the Son of Mary, didst thou say unto men, worship me and my mother as gods in degradation of Allah? He will say, glory to thee, never could I say what I had no right to say. Had I said such a thing, thou wouldest indeed have known it. Thou knowest what is in my heart, though I know not what is in thine. For thou knowest in full all that is hidden. End quote. Quran 5, verse 116. His prophecy. Quran 7, verse 157 asserts that Muhammad is mentioned in the Torah and the Gospel, and that Jews and Christians can find references to him. The Quran also maintains that Jesus predicted the coming of Muhammad. Quote, and remember, Jesus, the son of Mary, said, O children of Israel, I am the messenger of Allah sent to you, confirming the law which came before me, and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me, whose name shall be Ahmad. End quote. Quran 61, verse 6. The names Ahmad and Muhammad are related, for both are derived from the Arabic root HMD, meaning praised. More importantly for Muslims, Muhammad claimed Ahmad as one of his names. Muslim apologists have attempted to link the name Ahmad to Jesus' prophecy of the coming Comforter, G.K. Parakletos, in John 14:16, often by claiming, without any manuscript support, that the Greek text has been corrupted. Since Jesus identifies the Comforter as, quote, the Spirit of Truth, end quote, he tells his followers that, quote, he abides with you and will be in you, end quote. It is clear that Muslim efforts to find Ahmad mentioned in John 14 are based on a prior commitment to Islam rather than any genuine textual support. His followers. According to the Quran, some of Jesus' Jewish listeners accepted his message and converted to Islam, while others continued in their unbelief. Quote, when Jesus found unbelief on their part, he said, who will be my helpers to the work of Allah? Said the disciples, we are Allah's helpers, we believe in Allah, and do thou bear witness that we are Muslims. End quote. Quran 3, verse 52. But Allah didn't leave Jesus' followers to fend for themselves. Instead, he says that he, quote, gave power to those who believed against their enemies, and they became the ones that prevailed, end quote. Quran 61, verse 14. Allah even promised Jesus to protect his followers until the day of resurrection. Quote, behold, Allah said, O Jesus, I will take thee and raise thee to myself, and clear thee of the falsehoods of those who blaspheme. I will make those who follow thee superior to those who reject faith, to the day of resurrection. Then shall you all return unto me, and I will judge between you of the matters wherein you dispute. End quote. Quran 3, verse 55. His rescue. In the verse just quoted, Allah tells Jesus, quote, I will take thee and raise thee to myself, end quote. Read in isolation, one might think that this refers to Jesus' resurrection. However, when read in light of another passage of the Quran, along with relevant commentaries, Allah's words suggest a miraculous rescue. In Quran 4, verse 157 through 158, certain Jews boast that they killed the Messiah. Allah informs them that they neither killed him nor crucified him. Quote, they said in boast, we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they killed him not, nor crucified him. But so it was made to appear to them, and those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For of a surety they killed him not. Nay, Allah raised him up unto himself, and Allah is exalted in power, wise. End quote. Quran 4, verse 157 and 158. This passage is far from clear. Nevertheless, a variety of early church commentaries have led the vast majority of Muslims to adopt some version of substitution theory, the view that someone was crucified in Jesus' place. The most common Muslim position today is that Allah miraculously disguised Judas to look like Jesus. Then Judas was crucified in Jesus' place while Jesus was taken safely to heaven. A variety of parallels to the Islamic substitution thesis may be found in the tales by the Gnostics and Docetists, 2nd century and later. In the second treatise of the Great Seth, for instance, a miraculously transformed Jesus laughs as he declares, quote, I did not die in reality, but in appearance, for my death, which they think happened to them in their error and blindness, since they have nailed their man unto their death. End quote. His return. The standard Islamic understanding of Jesus' rescue seems to require a second coming. If Quran chapter 4, verse 157 through 158 asserts that Jesus was taken to heaven alive, this claim must be reconciled with other passages of the Quran which imply that Jesus would die, e.g. chapter 19, verse 33. To make sense of these conflicting claims, Muslims must believe that Jesus is going to return to earth at some point in the future, and that he will die and be resurrected. This is exactly what we find in the Hadith. Indeed, Muhammad affirmed a startling role for Jesus at his second coming. Quote, Allah's messenger said, the hour will not be established until the son of Mary, i.e. Isa, or Jesus, descends amongst you and will judge mankind justly by the law of the Quran, as a just ruler. He will break the cross, kill the pigs, and abolish the jizya tax. Money will be in abundance so that nobody will accept it as charitable gifts. End quote. The jizya, poll tax, won't be abolished because of the abundance of money, but because Allah, quote, will cause all religions to perish except Islam. End quote. According to other traditions, Jesus will wage jihad against unbelievers, kill the Antichrist, get married, have children, take the pilgrimage to Mecca, reign for 40 years, die, and be buried near Muhammad in Medina. Assessment. The Islamic Jesus bears many similarities to the Christian Jesus, e.g. angelic annunciation, virgin conception, miraculous life, messiahship, etc. Some degree of resemblance should be expected, since Muhammad had regular interactions with Christians and repeatedly was accused of copying stories from others. See Quran 6:25, 8:31, 16:24, 25:4-6, 46:17, 68:15, and 83:13. Nevertheless, that Muhammad granted so many crucial and supernatural facts about Jesus is striking, and Christians should make use of these points in argument in their discussions with Muslims. Also striking, however, are the points of disagreement. The Quran denies Jesus' deity, death, and resurrection, which happen to be the three key elements of the Christian gospel. The Apostle Paul proclaimed that, quote, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved," end quote. Romans 10:9. For Christians who have been warned to, quote, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves," end quote. Matthew 7:15. Muhammad's corruption of the gospel can serve only as confirmation of his status as a false prophet.
Thank you for listening to another episode from the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, which provides audio articles of Christian Research Journal articles. If you go to equip.org, you will find a brand new article for the Christian Research Journal published weekly. In addition, please subscribe to our other podcasts. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you will find the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, the Postmodern Realities podcast, which features interviews with Christian Research Journal authors, our flagship podcast, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the Hank Unplugged podcast, where CRI President Hank Hanegraaff takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting and informative people on the planet. At equip.org, you will also find a lot of resources to equip you, including many thousands of Christian Research Journal articles. That's EQUIP.org. Thank you.